Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to tell you about another great podcast, Swagoo and Perk, an ESPN podcast led by its namesake hosts Marcus Spears, Swagoo, and Kendrick Perkins. With new episodes every Tuesday morning, Spears and Perkins will bring listeners the latest NBA and NFL news, as well as a look inside their lives, career journey, with can't-miss conversations. That's Swagoo and Perk. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, and also available on ESPN's YouTube channel. Also, NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, offers exclusive content Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Alongside Malika, there will be a full cast of NBA experts and insiders, including Kendrick Perkins, Chinne Agumake, Vince Carter, Zach Lowe, Woj, Ramona Shelburne, and many of our NBA reporters from around the league. Get caught up with the latest from around the NBA on NBA Today on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. And also available as a podcast. Listen to NBA Today wherever you get your podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is Foxworth Friday. Dominique Foxworth, what's going on?
First of all, Sunday, 11:30. Watch it live on HBO. Then stream it on HBO Max the next day. And tell a friend to do the same thing. Hey, Bo, happy to be here.
I appreciate it. Also, let me tell you guys something also, because I understand that 11:30 is a while to go. It is my understanding that John Oliver's Last Week Tonight is going to be off on Sunday. And so they are going to play episode 2 of Game Theory with Bomani Jones at 11 o'clock. Let's go ahead.
Nice. Yeah, that's big for me, me and other people with kids. That extra 30 minutes is big.
Man, for people who had to shoot a TV show that afternoon, it is also quite big. Man, look here. I've been telling people, I feel like this must be what it feels like 4 days after the Super Bowl, except what if after that they were like, yo, you got to play another Super Bowl on Sunday. What?
I mean, it's also after you win the Super Bowl, because yes. I imagine that you celebrated that night would be my guess, or at least that day.
Yes, I did. I did. I celebrated that night. It was a great time and all of that stuff. And I have subsequently felt like I've been hit by a truck. But you know what I'm saying? It's like I got hit by a truck and money flew out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like it's, you know, I don't know, man.
Got hit by an armored truck?
Yes. I tell you this, though. I had to do some catching up, you know, to see what all has been going on with the world. And I looked up. And your boy, Baker Mayfield, was out here thanking the fans, but I thought he still had a job, so I was confused. And then I looked up, and apparently the Browns had a meeting with Deshaun Watson, and all I could think to myself was, oh, there's no shame about this at all. We're just going to act like everything's cool with what happened with Deshaun Watson. And this blows my mind. And I just want to start off by saying why it blows my mind. The criminal case was never the point.
Right.
When this came up as a controversy with the Sports Illustrated report and the lawsuit and everything else, it was never about whether or not he was going to go to jail. It was all about, yo, this dude is wilding. And the standards on personal conduct and everything else have never been about criminal action necessarily. Maybe actions that were criminal, but not about whether or not you was going to jail for it or you were going to get convicted. And Watson was never at risk of going to jail for this. So what changed? Can somebody help me out with that?
Nothing changed. We don't care about women. We really care about football. Like, that's what it boils down to in our country and society. So like, they were waiting for the grand jury is what they're waiting for, so that they could have some sort of finish line. It was never about his conduct. And general managers and teams are a lot like CEOs in that they care about the bottom line and they will use that to justify their view. It's like, my job is to maximize shareholder value. Everything else be damned. Sweatshops, I'm cool with it. Mines in Africa, let's do that thing. 22 sexual assaults, oh, but can he throw a touchdown? I mean, like, we got to be honest with ourselves, and the only way that that ever changes is if at some point us as a society make them pay that price. If there is a actual price to be paid, and there's not going to be a price, and the GMs, the coaches, the owners, anyone who's having a meeting with Deshaun Watson and considering bringing Deshaun Watson into their organization, they know that. They know that they got to endure a cycle of bad press, and then football games happen, and we get excited.
Now, I will say this, though. There is not an immediate price to pay. The price is perhaps just potential, and it's if he does it again, everybody's getting fired. Right? Like that is the price. And that would be enough to leave me shook. But in a world where Kirk Cousins signed another super duper guaranteed contract, that just speaks to scarcity, right? Like good quarterbacks are really hard to find. And who knows? Maybe this is the most disheartening example of racial progress that there's ever been. A black dude who appears to be a sexual deviant who just spent a year sitting out in part because he wanted to be traded less than a year after signing an extension. And he ain't even really getting no hell about it. And you got teams not just willing, like the idea, not just that somebody was willing to meet with him, but in such a way where nobody minded that the world found out. Yeah. That, like, maybe it was a trial balloon, right? Maybe it was just to see what would happen. That got me. There are two teams, though, that have popped up in this Watson sweepstakes that even with what you say about, yes, we hate women, all that stuff, these two teams surprise me. Number one is the Falcons. And the Falcons surprise me because I think Matt Ryan is basically cooked, but he's not all the way cooked, right? His arm is cooked, but he's so experienced and everything else, he can find ways to make it work. He is a pillar of the community. You can make an argument that he's the most important player in the history of the franchise. The only reason, yes, I don't call him the most important is because Michael Vick is the most important player in the history of the franchise. But Ryan's importance is by maintaining what started with the Vick era, right? When everything could have fallen apart, he kept it up, and they've been a reasonably competent franchise despite of being the Atlanta Falcons, perfectly capable of losing a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. But the idea that they would run Matt Ryan out to bring in the nasty man? Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, so that explanation for why Matt Ryan is so important is for everybody listening. That ain't for me. Matt Ryan may be my favorite quarterback of all time because when I got traded down there in my contract year and they drafted this rookie and I just thought my career was going to languish away and I started looking at graduate schools on my flight from Denver to Atlanta, Matt Ryan showed up and slang that thing and we balled out. So Matt Ryan, if anybody got something cross to say about Matt Ryan, me and you got an issue. But
yo, what is first pass in the NFL a touchdown?
Touchdown. Touchdown, long touchdown to a slow man. It was incredible.
They would say a slow man and a slow ball. That pass took a long time to get there, but it made it.
But, I mean, the Lord had blessed that team on that day. So not only would they be replacing Matt Ryan with the nasty man, Deshaun Watson, but they also have a history of having an issue at quarterback that can mar your franchise. And I do think that this might be a little bit of a galaxy brain theory, but the way that Deshaun Watson is being perceived, I think being on the other end of the 23 accusations, I think that it is giving him some defenders, right? Because if he was just a superstar black quarterback who's trying to force his way out of a team, that's one thing. But he's a superstar black quarterback trying to force his way out of a team who's being accused of sexual assault. And no one can produce video. So if you are inclined to defend him, then you got your back arched and you stepping up like, man, they trying to corner my man. So that puts people in his corner. And it's not just like Deshaun Watson fans. It's also like hyper toxically masculine people who look at this world and say it's getting too soft. Like these are the same people, or these at least are the prototype of some of the same people who would want to have Deshaun Watson's back. So he represents so much more. And I think in a way it's given him a bit of a cheering section that a disgruntled black quarterback don't normally get.
I also think that people are more offended by the fact that the Texans are incompetent than the potential that this dude was out here. And, you know, fair. And I keep rolling with all the allegedlys and everything else. As I've put it before, I'm not willing to play the 22 woman parlay that every single one of them are lying. Right? Like I just want people to stop and think about that for a second. If this was like some sports gambling thing, is there a 22-team parlay you're willing to engage in? And if you did hit that 22-team parlay, do you realize what a big score you would hit for? Because that's what you're saying, really. I think all 22 of them are lying. But how many women we got in this that put their names on this in public? You think somebody's going to put their name on this in public lying if they're sane? That's too much for me to lean in and be like, nah, we're going to bring that dude in. But to your point about the feelings about women, the other team that I find interesting in this is the Panthers. And the reason I find the Panthers interesting is, number one, they're owned by David Tepper, and he wants to win so bad. And I have apps. If he was willing to trade a first-round pick to get, or however, what was the second-round pick to get Sam Darnold, then yeah, he's willing to, I don't even know for him if he's pinching his nose, but he's willing to pinch his nose and sign Deshaun Watson. But the reason that it gets me, and part of why I think this is actually a reflection of changing times to a degree, there's a dude that used to own the Charlotte Hornets who was named George Shinn. Okay? The Hornets were beloved in Charlotte. And I don't think that people quite understand what a big deal they were. They had a 20-something thousand seat arena and they were selling that bad boy out every night. Like, the NBA is full of cities that they put teams in because they loved college basketball, and then it didn't quite hit like that, except it did in Charlotte. And they, you know, they had good memories around it, all of that stuff. That's the reason why they changed the Bobcats back to the Hornets, is because the city did really love the Hornets. But the owner caught a charge for kidnapping and sexual assault. He didn't get convicted on it, but he did get out there talk about cheating on his wife and all of this stuff. That team had to move because of that. They were so down on him. And because that's, I mean, that's Billy Graham country. You got to realize, like, that's a fairly morally rigid area there. And the team basically had to leave because of how they felt about the owner. They were so disgusted by the idea that he was cheating on his wife. Fast forward to 2022 and Deshaun Watson. And it goes from we don't want them to who can we put around them real quick. And that really did jump out to me. Like, I'm never surprised by levels of cynicism surrounding sports and what people are willing to put up with and everything else. I am stunned, though, that we're still talking about some significant punishment that should come down from the NFL about this. And the line is filling up.
I appreciate the context that you gave. It's a story that I didn't know because I thought you were going to the Panthers. Like, the guy who just owned the team had to sell it because he ain't know how to act around people. You know, like, you would assume that people would move away from that. But I think that these teams are doing the calculations and recognize that this stuff will blow over and Deshaun Watson's talent is going to last at least for another decade. You're going to be... Well, I don't want to say a Super Bowl contender no matter what, because the Texans were putrid for while Deshaun Watson was putting up numbers.
Well, they were only putrid that one year.
Yeah. You'll have reason to believe that you might have a Super Bowl in your future. And you also have evidence that shows that people will move on, which I'm not even here to suggest that people should not move on. I certainly don't believe that Deshaun Watson should never play in the league again. But there's a process, you know, like, there are steps that you must go through. And if you and I are on the same page, which it seems like we are, where, like, we have to say allegedly, but it's hard to really feel allegedly in my heart, particularly when you look at, when you actually read through the things that the women are saying, you take into account all the circumstantial stuff, even the minor stuff, like, why you got this many massage therapists? What you doing?
Why you looking for them on Instagram and you a professional athlete?
And, like, the only, from this entire time, the only reasonable, to me, at least reasonable defense, which I don't necessarily believe, is that these women were sex workers. And, like, that makes sense. I assume that sex workers advertise themselves as massage therapists on Instagram and stuff like that. That, to me, is the most reasonable thing. But they are all also, like, licensed massage therapists who have a history of being actual massage therapists. So if you put that out, nothing else makes sense. We're not here to litigate the case.
Well, hold on. Why are we on the case part? I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to raise this point. You, as a professional athlete, right? Are you getting a massage out here on these streets that's on the level of the massages that you was getting at work?
No.
Because the reason I asked that was I had a massage therapist in Miami, and I will recommend him to you. I like Bob a lot, right? A friend of mine set me up with it. And so I go, and it's this dude, Bob. He's doing massages out of his crib. And I look on the wall, and framed is a picture of a jacket from the 1996 Olympics and a couple of pictures. And he was the massage therapist for the Olympic team. Okay. Best massage I'd ever had in my life. And I could not imagine that. And he's the dude where he'll tell me about, like, somebody called me and was like, hey, I got referred, come give a massage. It'll be some athlete. You know what I mean? Because his rep is that strong on the massage game. Dog, I ain't just going out. Like, Instagram ain't got no reviews. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not doing that. That's not going to be the play. And this dude was just like randomly, come on, man. How you think this works?
Yeah, it is not an erotic experience. And I guess I don't want to yuck anybody's yum. Maybe some people, not maybe, there are people who like a little pain with their pleasure. But it don't feel good. They are trying to squeeze all the knots and lactic acid, everything up out your bones. And again, not trying to yuck people's yum. Maybe people are into all types of body types and whatever. But in order to do that, you got some bulk and some heft to you, and you are not advertising on the Instagram. Like, it just, that is not your sales pitch. Your sales pitch is not, look at pictures of me. Your sales pitch is, it's gonna feel terrible while it's happening, but you're gonna feel so much better afterwards. So again, I can't jump into anyone's sexual proclivities. I'm sure there are lots of people who are into these different things, but the mainstream, this ain't what you're looking for. And again, I haven't looked at these women's pictures or gone through their Instagram pages or anything like that. But my guess is they are not showing you their forearm muscles and the veins in their hands, which is what I'm checking for. If you tell me you are a sports massage therapist, I want to see from your elbows to your tips, your fingertips, and I want veins and muscles and hair. Like, yeah. I need some hair. And that ain't what they are, I'm guessing.
Dog, man, it's just, it's all right there, and the teams are just like, oh well, and they just gonna keep this going. And it's the most shameless thing to me, because remember this, Pac-Man Jones is never convicted of anything.
Nope.
Right? That was always his argument, is I've never been convicted. And the NFL's argument was, our standard is above that of the law. And so to me, even if he winds up getting a suspension, because I think there will be a suspension, it may even be an 8-game suspension, but even if he gets it, the attitudes of everybody surrounding this indicates that there ain't no feeling behind this. There's nothing with any sort of moral underpinning. And you guys know I'm not really a rigid moralist. Like, I'm understanding of the fact that people make decisions sometimes just to get over, and by and large, that's really what people wind up doing, right? They may feel bad about it later. They may go in the booth, talk to the padre, you know, apologize for everything they done, you know, do some whatchamacallums and, you know, a Hail Mary or whatever they call that, you know, get themselves back right, try to get it straight. But this, to me, if credibility matters, would be just such a shot to the credibility, honestly, of the entire league, the whole NFL. And don't let him come out here and not ball, because you think there ain't no cost. The cost will become abundantly clear then.
So as a union president, I'm on the other side. I have experience on the other side of the league. And the idea that they can, like, mete out extrajudicial punishment, like, is hugely problematic, because their investigations are just that, their investigations. But I also recognize that we're in a place where there's a price to be paid whether there's a conviction or not. And if you want to work at a certain place, sometimes there are different rules for you, just like you can't bet on games. Like, there are different rules for you if you want to work there. So, like, as much as I hate the idea of handing over any more power to the league over the players, in this case, it wouldn't be handing it over, it feels like something has to be done. Like, even though he didn't play all last year, you can't just have week one and let him stroll out there for no other reason than to be able to show your face in polite society. At least you can say this one team is wilding, but we did our part.
Yo, and I'm with you on the extrajudicial thing with the NFL and all of that. But you know what I also think happened to the NFL? You know how Facebook had all kinds of grand ideas as a company that would help them dominate market share, and then they looked up and realized, wow, Running a journalistic entity is incredibly difficult. It comes with issues that I had not actually considered before we decided we just wanted to do this. Oh my God, now we're stuck doing this, right? I feel like for the NFL, at first they thought they were just going to get these cases, drop some hammers. It wasn't going to wind up being too hard. And then this got way more complex than they expected, because you can't forget that when they decided this stuff about making Roger Goodell the enforcer, the emperor, and all of this stuff, there were three names that were at the top of the list at that time. It was Public Enemies 1, 2, and 3. And this is how you knew it was all contrived. Tank Williams, Chris Henry, and Pac-Man Jones.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, not a famous person in the group. All right, not a single famous person there, but the league decided to make examples of them. And, you know, there was this idea that the public has grown offended by this bad behavior by players. And I never got that feeling in actual application. I only heard about it when they told us that this was a problem. And then they got in this and they decided they were going to be doing this. And it's been a show ever since. It's been random. All of it has just been totally ridiculous. And they'd love to get out of that business, but that you can't announce. Like, you can get around to being like, yo, we're not really going to test for weed no more, and slide it in, and nobody's going to think about it. You say we are out of the accountability business? That ain't going to fly, even if maybe it should.
I was there, so my perspective on the situation then and now is very different. I was in those meetings. I was, I guess, on executive committee then, and inside the player community, there was a push also, because we believed that we were being framed this way. And I think that the NFL, for as much criticism as they get and they deserve, the business isn't just great or isn't just profitable because the games are good or they are lucky. Like, they are strategic. And I think that they recognize that whether it was about the way that fans perceived them or not didn't matter, but they recognize that they wanted to look a certain way. You know, if you want to attract an official soft drink, you can add a couple B's onto that contract if you are perceived as a family-friendly product. It's going to cost you some money if you're perceived as Tank Johnson-friendly product. So I think that's what it was all about. And we and the players prior to that, you can look back at the Ray Lewis case, I think is a good one to look at. But prior to that, Paul Tagliabue was in the NFL, was a little slower to mete out this punishment and kind of deferred to the justice system, which I think is what you should do if you are not a criminal justice organization.
And he's also a lawyer.
Yeah, and he's also a lawyer, which helps. And then Goodell's whole push and the people behind pushing Goodell to the top was to clean all this up. And we in the league and at the people with the leadership of the union at the time, like, we fell into it also, because we're looking at it and we're like, all right, fine, make these couple of guys pay this price because the rest of us are all right. They are costing us all money, but the rest of us are all right. That was a mistake. Not that we had the legal ground to defend it given what was in the CBA, but there was some precedent set. So then those things change. Now when I look back on it, it's entirely different. But if I'm an owner of the team, if I'm an investor in any way, if I'm watching this, it worked. It was ingenious.
Well, also, the owners picked a great example, because if you come to the players and they like, dog, you trying to tell us that they ain't got to do something about Pac-Man? All right, you right, dog.
That's exactly right, how the meeting went.
I see what you mean.
I was in all the meetings, and stuff kept popping up, and they were like, but we got to do something about him. And what was we supposed to say to that? Because we agreed. It wasn't just him. We was looking around like, yeah, dude, wild. And when I went to the rookie symposium, we were rookies at the same time. I think he was the first corner taken.
Yes.
And we first all go to symposium.
First defensive player taken.
Yeah. We all go to the symposium, and it's like 3 days, and it's just us in meetings. That boy came in there with more diamonds on him than Liberace. That's a nice old reference. He was sitting in there barely for minutes at a time. His focus was on football and everything else, all the good stuff that came with it. So, and that's fine. Like, I'm not here to judge him as a person or any of these other people, but we were in there and we knew him, you know? So, like, we kind of was like, yeah, you do got to do something about that.
After All-Star in Vegas, that was like, okay, yeah, we got to do something about this dude.
And none of us were surprised. And then, like, it came to the point where we were in those meetings and we also felt like something had to happen, but it, like, set a precedent. I'm not sure that we would have won in court anyway if we challenged it, but it set a precedent that we couldn't
change. And to the original point is, as much as it bothers anybody who believes in like what America presents as what a judicial system should be, it's worked. Like every now and then they catch some criticism, but year over year they stacking B's, and they are, I don't know, the most significant institution in modern American life, at least entertainment property. Like they have transcended entertainment in part because of the way that they've convinced everybody, I was about to say middle America, all of America, that football is for you.
Yeah, you can't have a league where it looks like the players are out of control. Yeah. Right? Like that doesn't play. That's what happened to the NBA
right
in the Allen Iverson era, is that they just felt like the players were out of control. Because even now, people feel like the players have too much power, but they don't feel like the players are out of control. The NFL was reaching a point where they were kind of feeling like the players were out of control. Once you give that perception of control, everything seems to go over just a little bit better. But I do contend with football, these cats could be out here robbing liquor stores and people still gonna watch football. Like, I do find it to be funny that everything we talk about in terms of amoral behavior and all these scandals and everything else, and we all go back and be like, yeah, but people still gonna watch football. However, the idea that a couple of your players was going to jail was the one thing, that and Colin Kaepernick, was the one thing to make people think, oh, they might not watch football. Because what do I keep saying all the time? People love these games but hate these players. That's just really what it comes down to. And so once you have that condition there, once that's in place, you got to do what you can to make people not think about the players. I would have thought that with Deshaun Watson, that the hatred of player thing would pop up. Nope. It's just like, hey, he a quarterback.
I think that like the people who are like publicly critical of Deshaun Watson are like annoying leftist woke mob people. When some people look at super talented football star Deshaun Watson, who has a pristine reputation otherwise, and then they look at, frankly, people like you and me and other people like us who are critical of him, lots of people would much rather side with Deshaun Watson than us. So that's, I think that's what it boils down to. And to the conversation we had before, is whether people will stop watching over players actually being out of control in football or not doesn't matter. If there's a 4% chance that they will, crush the players. Because in football, unlike basketball, the players aren't like, they aren't the draw.
Yeah, they're like, fungible.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They aren't the draw. So why am I going to stand here and like try to treat somebody with the proper like judicial review because I believe in justice? Nah. Because I like them? Nah. Because I respect them? Nah. Because I care about them? Nah. Go ahead and crush them. Because I'm not going to let this 4% chance become a problem for the money that I make.
Well, here's the other thing that gets me, though, about the way that we just kind of kept moving on Watson. Man, that stuff they talk about with him is weird, right? Normally, just being weird would get you out here. So we're actually in like an interesting place where it's just weird enough that nobody feels comfortable making jokes about it, but it's apparently not craven enough that right. People feel like something has to be done about it. Here we go, man. Poor Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield up here like, you got to be kidding me. Y'all running me out of here for a freak? I mean, look, I don't think Baker Mayfield's a great quarterback, but he's a quarterback.
Yeah.
The fact that the teams that have quarterbacks are thinking about this, that was the thing with me about the Falcons. Y'all don't even have to be this desperate about it. I also wonder if it would go differently with him if this wasn't a quarterback poor draft.
Yeah, that would definitely change things. But the draft won't be poor for quarterbacks every year. What I don't get in this is the person with the most to lose in this situation, presumably, is the owners, who also have the most power and the longest timeline. So, like, I don't get why. And that,
because they never have to answer any questions.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's it.
The only owner right. ever willing to answer, and this is the thing about it, we call Jerry Jones a glory hog for this. But when it's time to sign Greg Hardy, whether you like the answers or not is its own discussion, but Jerry Jones is going to be somewhere to answer that question. You don't know what none of these owners' voices sound like.
That's true. I would think that because you have this long timeline, you're like, eh, I don't need that. We'll find somebody eventually. But maybe also because many of them have owned the team for so long to not have success that they're like, man, all right, well, I'll deal with whatever pain comes with this so I can get what I deserve. But the Baker letter, man, I think the Browns, was it Mortensen said that the Browns wanted a, quote, adult at quarterback? And that's why they want to move on from Baker Mayfield. It's real hard. Ooh. It's real hard for me as a player advocate guy to cape up for Baker's maturity when he out here sending these passive aggressive, corny ass thank you screenshots. Like, stop it. And then you pile it on all the rest of the foolishness that he has done. It's like, man, he's a hard guy to root for.
This is, dog, that was soft.
And then he signed it Baker Reagan Mayfield. You really wanted to piss me off. Like, you really, oh, trickle down ass Mayfield.
Dog, that was so soft. I can't, like, I'm sorry. There are levels of this. I get this. You know, we're in a different generation about how we handle people and their vulnerabilities, but that wasn't about expressing his vulnerabilities. That was being passive aggressive, and that's never going to be cool. Like, everybody out here needs to understand that. We ain't never going to get to the point in the dialogue where this passive aggressive bullshit is going to fly. It cannot, right? Like, I mean, I actually think passive aggression in many cases is grounds for violence. Like, I saw that he did that, and I just couldn't believe it. I just could not believe it. The thing about them saying they need an adult at quarterback, though, that's so damning for Baker is we've seen them try so hard to make it work with him and try and try and try. I can't think of a time, even, like, you know, with no attribution, that I can think of a team saying something like that about a quarterback, right? Just flat out calling you too immature for the job. Woo! That make you have to do some assessment.
A quarterback that presumably you want to move to. Like, you don't care that you're devaluing him. And Baker doesn't strike me as the type of guy that is going to do that type of assessment, which maybe it's not fair of me to say because I don't know him. Maybe he's different behind closed doors, but he ain't never showed us that side. Whenever he's in front of a camera, this is the closest, I guess, that he's shown to, like, some self-awareness. And this is not self-awareness.
No.
Like, there were some shots, some lines in there that I remember that felt like he was, like, taking a slight bit of responsibility. But then he threw trusted in God in there. I was like, all right, man, here we go. Like, don't bring God into this. Like, that's just a cheap shot to try to get some sympathy. And he pulled the hard-working people of Cleveland. That is one of the tropes or, like, crutches that I hate that athletes fall back on, and frankly everyone falls back on. Every city people work hard. Like, that's the dumbest nonsense ever. Like, Cleveland people work harder. I hate that. It annoys me.
I'm with you. By the way, I had forgotten to bring this up, but I see that Trubisky signed with the Steelers.
Yep.
All right, it's just me and you talking, right?
For sure.
I don't think that was a bad idea. Show me a better idea.
Okay, that's different than I don't think that was a bad idea.
No, but I don't think it was a bad idea because A, there isn't a better idea, right?
Right.
Two, he is not without talent,
yeah.
Right? Like this isn't one where I don't understand why somebody took him that high, but I did understand why somebody might take him. It wasn't all terrible for him, but I also think that he was in a situation where he was obviously being used poorly and he needs to be somewhere, like we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
If they call some Malik plays for him, he'll be a whole lot better. And I will say this, the Mitchell Trubisky that they get this year will be better than the Ben Roethlisberger that they've had for the last 2 years.
And the Mason Rudolph.
Yes, that's what I'm
saying.
And
the dude named Duck.
Yeah, like, I don't think they can win a Super Bowl with him, but I think they can win 10 games.
He is on a $7 million contract.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And frankly, probably Carson Wentz-ish.
I would rather have him than Carson Wentz.
Of course. At this price, too. Like, Carson Wentz has the ability to black out and be MVP-level talent for a series of plays and maybe even for a game.
Right.
But one thing you need to know, that thing is coming back down eventually.
Yes, yes,
it's
yes,
coming
yes.
back down eventually. And it's going to cost you 30-plus a year. It ain't worth
right.
it.
Well, see, the thing for me with Trubisky also is I am reluctant to go too far in the blame the organization because the guy didn't play well thing, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't lean too heavy into that. However, the rest of y'all do. And it is interesting that somehow this guy doesn't get any of that slack at any point, right? We watched Matt Nagy misuse Justin Fields last year,
uh-huh.
right? And Justin Fields, I mean, obviously Justin Fields is a much better athlete than Trubisky, but in fact, much better may be being unfair. He's a better athlete than Trubisky is, but Trubisky is a good one. And some of the same problems that you saw the next quarterback have some of those same problems. Like, it really wouldn't surprise me if Trubisky wound up somewhere where they, you know, knew what they were doing. And not that he becomes a Pro Bowler, but he becomes a decent guy for you to have on your team. Again, I just saw somebody give Kirk Cousins another guaranteed $87.9 zillion.
Trubisky,
I love this time of year, man. I love this time of year.
Just watch guys get paid.
I mean, just seeing the numbers go, just like Carlton Davis and J.C. Jackson, even guys like Kirk Cousins, get that money, man.
Yo, were you surprised that somebody was willing to give Von Miller $80 million? Like, I imagine that 6 years is all kinds of fiction, but I was still surprised that he got the deal that he did and that he took the deal that he did. I have the option of trying to run it back in sunny Los Angeles, or we could try to get over the hump in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's shocking. At this point in my career, if I'm Von Miller, I might go ahead and take that discounted rate and stay at home. And the people of LA, man, I know they don't care nothing about football, but boy, do they have some exciting football out there to watch. Between the Rams and what the Chargers are doing, it's going to be a lot of great ball being played in some half-full stadiums out there.
Doc, can you imagine what a big star Justin Herbert would be if he just played for the Rams and not the Chargers?
Because
that's just all-star. Like watching him play is like, oh, boy, that jumped off the screen.
Yeah, he'd be out there doing Josh Allen-y things. Which Josh Allen play at Buffalo.
Yes.
And he's a star.
Yo, let me ask you this. True or false? Russell Wilson is the third best quarterback in the AFC West.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. Yeah, I'm not going to put him underneath Carr. He could come out here and do something this year. Because we saw Aaron Rodgers have a career dip. And he needed some, so presumably we're accepting the theory that he had some injuries, and then he got a wake-up call when they drafted Jordan Love. So this, it was like a shock to his system. That you can argue that this is the same thing for Russell Wilson, is getting out of there, getting on a new team, getting the lights back on him, getting his attention, and this could be the shock to his system, because I don't think that he is physically spent. He's not the athlete he once was, but he still has a physical talent to be top of the league good. So it's hard for me to pinpoint exactly why he got bad. So in this new situation, I mean, who knows how good a coach Nathaniel Hackett is, but in this new situation, there's reason to believe that he might come out, take the league by storm.
Yeah, I just worry with Russell that he's one of these guys that as the athleticism dwindles, the overall impact, like a 3% decrease in athleticism could be a 5% decrease overall. You know what I mean? And that keep
he's
going
a small
up.
Guard in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah. And he takes 45 sacks a year. Yeah. And that's on him, right? That doesn't really fall on anybody else. That's on him. But I do want to see it. Like, this is shaping up, at least from here. I hate to be that guy that's getting excited about football in March because I just feel like that means I'm brainwashed. But I do kind of feel like it's kind of stacking up to where we could have some very interesting stuff shaking out here. You know what I'm saying?
It's okay. It got a hold of you. It got a hold of all of us. It's all right. I mean, it is exciting. I got sidetracked because I was looking at this money out here, and then I had to look up where Carlton Davis was from, because the name Carlton, and he's 25, I'm like, maybe he's a junior. I don't see that on his Wikipedia. The man from Miami. I just don't got Carltons coming from Miami unless they're juniors. Especially 25 years ago. That's like the height of Fresh Prince.
Well, I will say this. I do not know Carlton's background. I do know Miami. And I do know something about names that end in T-O-N that does overlap with Miami, which is our Jamaican brothers.
There we go.
Our Jamaican brothers are deep in the T-O-N family. It is a certain particular class of Jamaicans, but your Arlingtons, your Barringtons, your Laytons, your Carltons, all of those.
That makes sense.
They ended those T-O-N
but I guess
names.
My thought is...
You think it named him after a her?
No, but I mean, in 1996, if you naming your son Carlton, at some point it crossed your mind that there's some already, right? In 96, there's already a super famous Carlton who is like the only Carlton that any of us know. So like choosing to name your son Carlton. Oh, it's Carlton Davis III. My bad. There it is.
Okay.
All right. That's what I needed to know.
Also,
I'm done.
That part still remains. You still know that there's a Carlton out here in these streets and you got to think outside yourself. But I would also just like to make the point that far more chilling in this discussion to me was the idea that he was born in 1996.
Yeah, a whole big ass physical adult.
Yes, there are people born. There are people born in the 21st century buying cigarettes, dog. That's all I have to say about that. But yo, that is Dominique Foxworth. Check him out on Get Up. Check him out all over. Check him out at Anscape. Check him out on Debatable. My man, I appreciate you.
Always, brother. Don't miss the show. Rate, review it. Can you rate and review HBO shows?
Yeah, you can. Get on Twitter and tell them you love it. Right. Our bosses like it when you do that. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us on The Right Time. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Gabe Bassane and Adi Khan handle things behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.